Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Whoever is so present here tonight, thank you for those who will listen to this broadcast. Thank you, Father, for your hand which is upon us. Thank you for the thoughts you have towards us. Thank you for communicating your love for us and enabling us to understand the plans and the purposes that are in your heart. We thank you that we are joint heirs with Christ. Thank you because you alone had fashioned these things before creation was brought into force. We bless your name, Father, that in due season you rescued us, cleansed us, and put your Spirit upon us. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for laying down your life for us. Thank you for having faith in us that we'll become what you have always hoped that we will become. And that is becoming sons of God. You are walking in us. You are not tired. You are not giving up. And we trust that by your help, we will fulfill that for which you died and was raised up for in the name of Jesus. I commit tonight to your care, Father. I ask Holy Spirit that you will tabernacle upon this meeting today. You will take care of whatever error, whatever misunderstanding, whatever wrong position we may have. Some of us have a mental asset. We agree with some of the teachings, but in practice, we've denied it. I pray, Lord Spirit, that there will be a work you will do here tonight. That there will be liberty. Liberty to serve you. Liberty to go and do your will. Liberty, Lord, to give up that which is wrong in the name of Jesus. Bring glory to your name. Build your church. Let not the gates of hell triumph, because we pray together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Good evening, church. Let me say greetings to all the pastors in the house, and all those of you just coming to resume. Praise the Lord. Can we... You are going to have to cope with me tonight again. I thought I'd gone... If I get one, what I would do, I won't mind. Oh, thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. I think the Holy Spirit knows that I will need something tonight. I thought I'd been delivered. But this weather, you know, it came from the north. They are always giving us everything that is not good. That's my pet theory. Don't go and preach it outside. Glory to God. Once again, I say good evening to us all in the name of Jesus. I'm trusting God for strength. I came in mentally fatigued. I will not be fatigued when your students are always throwing shakabula. Students at 400 level graduating, and I'm like, are you guys really kidding me? Thank you, sir. And then the doctor take a small. Okay. If there's somebody to be in the choir, you see, he can't sing because his voice has gone. And people don't really know that God does not care whether you have good voice or bad voice. All voices are acceptable before God. Praise God. You know, God created the canaries. I understand they sing very well. He also created the sparrow. Both of them. Praise God. Even the vulture praises God. And it's acceptable before God. So when we ask you to come and sing, and you say, I have a voice. you will think like that. Glory to God. Yes, I'm saying I'm trusting God tonight for mental strength. I'm mentally fatigued. And having to shout, having to go way up your generation. It's no longer my generation, it's now your generation. I know thee not anymore. After the flesh. I want to talk tonight, we started talking about the kingdom of God and the warfare of the kingdom. And I'm trying to lay some basic foundation as we go on. The past 2 weeks I've talked about the authority, because the Bible says Jesus in Luke chapter 9, right? The Bible says Jesus gave them power and authority to do what? To cast out devils and heal the sick. There is an aspect, and you remember we said that Jesus primarily came to set up his kingdom. I'm trusting God that by now, you and I would have had a different mental shift, that what we are doing is not about building a name for ourselves in the earth or trying to put a church that will cover the whole earth. That is not primarily our emphasis or our desire or our goal. Do you follow me? That's not it. Our primary assignment for being saved, our primary assignment for being called, our primary assignment for preaching the gospel is to do what? Establish his kingdom. Praise God. Now, you cannot be an effective preacher if those two components of our mandate is not looked into properly. And what are those two components? He said he gave them power and what? Authority. What were they to do with it? Cast out devils. If anyone tells you that that is not part of our mandate, I will wonder if the person actually read his Bible. Hallelujah. Am I communicating? So if you as a believer, you are doing everything possible, necessary, by maneuver or by any means, to avoid confrontation with the powers of darkness, we need to help you. Because if you are committed to pushing this kingdom forward and establishing this kingdom, you more of necessity confront devils. We can't run away from it. They are here. They are present. It's a reality. It exists. It's not about us exalting demons. Praise the Lord. No. He says he gave them authority. And when Jesus ascended and he was going to leave them a charge, the Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, what will they do first? They will cast out devils. So when we have a church that is not casting out devils, I want to ask, what kind of church are we building? Remember, the purpose of the church is to create the platform to grow the saints. Praise the Lord. And the job of the saints is to do the work of ministry. Then I ask you, what is the work of the ministry? Advance the kingdom. So you can't advance the kingdom except you know how to confront and deal with these things. And then he gave them authority, not only cast out devils, but to also do what? Heal the sick. So it's like you graduating from the university and you did not pass core courses in your course. Is that English? Is that okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. Core courses. You say you are doing mathematics, right? What are your core courses? What is the meaning of that? Look at this. I'm not about course code. What are your core courses? Core. That if you don't pass them, you are not going. Non-elective. Compulsory courses. Eh? I don't know them now. Come on, Lorukoni. from the day you started, the day you entered university, and you migrated to the end, what are your core courses? Look, if you... Wait. Where is your sideways defense? I'm going to be there. Oh, no. You don't have authority to be there. The mother of all, that is calculus. Oh. Now, can you imagine dodging it and not doing it? Then you appear at the final year and say that I want certificate. It's not possible. Do you understand? It's not possible. So how can we claim we are kingdom people and these two major components of our mandate, we are avoiding it? I think we need to go back and look at it again. So I told us that the meaning of authority is different from power. Power is called dunamis, innate ability. You have the ability to do. Are you with me? That's what power is. But authority is exousia, which means permission to do. One has ability. One is ability. One is permission. They work together. And as I was talking to Pastor today, I don't know whether we will get to their point. We'll get there. You see, during this last thing, I posted something on the WhatsApp group. I hope you people remember. And a brother had to message me privately and said, Daddy, we need to teach people how to walk in the power of God because John G. Lake did it. And I said, Holy Spirit, how do I talk to this brother without him getting offended? And I said, technically, theoretically, that's correct. But you remember the same Paul said, I left, who was that man? The apostle. He said he left him in one place sick. He left him sick. And then that's an apostle. Then there was Epaphras, who was sick unto death. Said God had mercy on him and on you so that I will not sorrow. The anointing of Paul could not. He was saying Paul who put down inside fire. Is he put down inside fire? It was being snake beat him and the snake died. Yes, he left Epaphras. He could not help Epaphras. I said, so please, go and get your own testimony. I'm not saying God cannot do it. You go and do it. But I won't put the life of those who don't have that kind of faith in danger. Am I making sense to you? Because faith grows. We have lived in presumption too much. Because John G. Lake did it does not mean to go and do it. Now, don't think that John G. Lake did not just wake up morning and say, by his anointing, I will carry virus. You know virus? Who's the microbiology here? Okay, you confirm. Coronavirus is not a small boy. It's even more deadlier than Lassa. And many viruses and bacteria are sick on me. They don't involve me. The manufacturer. I guess that was manufactured in the laboratory and didn't got out. And it's killing people. Now, I didn't serve you. But the word of God, that's where you now understand how to use promises for us to survive. You don't presume. I'm powerful. I am very... They don't work like that too. That thing must sink into your subconsciousness. Until that thing becomes rema. Can we still use those words now? That's when you can now say, I want to hold virus. If it's not, it has not been given to you, just please go and avoid it. And understand that you avoid drinking Gary now. Please don't buy Gary in market again. If you're not the one that made it yourself, don't buy Gary. Because they said over 80% of the people in FMC came from Accra South here. So it's right here in front of us. So how did this spread? Is there rats? It could be goat, it could be anything. But just, multi-breasted. How do we know? So we cannot to kill them. Glory to God. But when you are killing, please be careful. Stay at a distance and praise God. Praise God. So I spoke a little bit about authority last week. And if I can remember and recollect that I had to explain that there are different levels and different kinds of authority. For example, he is an authority in his field because he has acquired knowledge. Do you understand? He has mastered certain kind of knowledge. And as far as we are concerned, every one of us here, we are completely in the dark. Are you with me? And so, because of his knowledge and his the skill of delivery, he is an authority. Praise God. Now, when he says you are the light of the world, it presupposes therefore that you have mastered the art of light. You have mastered the theory. You have mastered the dynamics of light. You understand how it works. You are an authority of light. Am I making sense? That's why you can be the light to the world. Whoever has the knowledge acquires authority in that area. So when Jesus was preaching, he did not preach as the scribes. The Bible says, spake as an authority. Because he knew what he was talking about. He was not using parabolic, he was not using, you see, I think. No, no. An authority does not think, he knows. Praise God. Like I was saying, I said before, one of my boys who was with me used to, when he wants to work on electrical thing, he doesn't put up the light. He just opens up and plays with the wire. The thing will shock you. He said, Daddy, take it easy. I understand. I can't do that because I don't understand. He will have live wire, but don't touch him. He said, don't touch me. And he also, I don't know, up to now, I won't do it. No amount of money will be given to me to carry out that experiment. Praise God. It is he who has knowledge. He controls and rules. Amen. So now if you acquire the knowledge of the holy, in that area you will exercise authority. Hallelujah. But when you don't know, you are in the dark. That's darkness. So you have, that's why the Bible says he has given all, God given us all divine promises. Can you give me that scripture? That pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So the more of the knowledge of him you know, the more you walk in authority. Now you may not be good in physics. You may not be good in microbiology. But that which you know, you know. Peter said, silver and gold I have, we have not. He was not a financial guru. He does not understand the seven dynamics of making money. Which other one? The seven Babylonian ways of becoming rich. He didn't know. He didn't know about the richest man in Babylon. And I don't know this. But this I know. I know something called the name of Jesus. That's what made him an authority. So the question is, what do you know? What knowledge have you acquired that makes you an authority in that area? Listen to me. When we talk about casting out of devils, healing the sick, it's about knowledge. Working miracles is knowledge. Many of you think you've read that part, oh, it's anointing. It's not necessarily so. Here there was a time in the Old Testament. The Bible and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. And Samson moved that the Spirit moved him. Yes, it's possible. But in the New Testament, it's not like that. Paul said we have this treasure where? In earthen vessels. That the excellency of it should not be of us. Not of us, but of God. But see, that treasure is of no use without an earthen vessel. The earthen vessel is useless without the treasure. So you need the two together. Am I making sense? He can only go as far as you permit him to go. Praise God. Are you with me? Only in rare cases will you see God operate sovereignly, suspend your mind, and do things he wants to do. It's very rare. Like somebody said, go and check the miracles of Jesus. There were only four instances Jesus healed people sovereignly. Without their permission, without their input, without anything, he just healed them. Remember that man that was at that pool of Bethesda? He didn't contribute anything. Jesus walked up to him and said, will you be healed? The man started telling a long story. Please learn the lesson from the blind man or the man, that man. When they ask a question in class, please go to, straight to the answer. Because the truth is that lecturers don't have patience again. There's no time. They don't have time to read. First three lines, once they scan it, and they don't find what they are looking for, you are failed. I ask student a question, what is the meaning of this? He starts telling the story of his grandfather. I'm not interested in hearing your father's and grandfather's story. What exactly? I said, please, leave the place, leave the place. Yeah, that means he has failed his presentation. Because nobody has time. Thank God for Jesus. He's not like me. Will you be telling stories? If I were Jesus, I said, okay, where you want to be, let me know. And I've walked away. Are you with me? That's just the issue. Jesus healed him sovereignly. But every other person, he said, according to thy faith. You had to personally engage. Without engaging, nothing will come out. It will just be there. Look at Jesus. He was in the boat. And the Bible says, he slept. That is the evangelistic message. He slept. And while he slept, there was storm. And they struggled. I want to tell you, I don't know whether if that boat sank, Jesus would have still been breathing. And he won't wake up. And when it's time for him to wake up, he'll wake up and walk out of the river and continue his life. It is the poor guys that would have had issues. When they struggle, somebody will come. Jesus is in this place now. How can he be sleeping? He said, why are you guys disturbing my life? Can you see not that we perish? Look at the water. Look at where the water has gone. Jesus. Down. He came out and looked around. I said, be still. And they marveled. What am I trying to say? They engaged him. If he didn't engage him, he's just looking at you. But, so, the problem the church has is that we are waiting for God to act sovereignly based on our emotional. Lord, can't you say I'm crying now. And then God will now move. It doesn't work like that. If God sovereignly blesses you, praise God. But all the time, he acts based on your faith. So pastor taught us, ask. That's your engagement. You must engage it by asking, by seeking, and by knocking. Am I communicating? Likewise, you must understand the dynamics of working of miracles. It's a knowledge. It's an understanding. You just know that this is how you must do it. I was listening to Randy Clark, and he said the Holy Ghost showed a man a vision of the program, and when he was going to start healing, he said what he saw was that he saw a woman coming with an umbrella. The rain was falling, and shook her umbrella and said, oh, this rain. And folded the umbrella. And that was the time he was to act. But he started ministering before that happened. And when he ministered and ministered, no ants got healed. And he was confused. I'm the man of God here now. I have told them that God heals. And nothing happened. Then the Holy Ghost drew his attention to that vision. He said, okay, there is a time. So he kept doing something else. He was preaching. He was sharing. And suddenly that woman just came in and he had the cue. This ray said that was his cue. And he started ministry. And there was power that flowed. If you don't understand these things, you will just be like a nobody. So knowledge is the key to authority. Am I communicating? And there's another aspect of authority is prayer. We'll talk about that not tonight. Praise the Lord. I want to look at the other concept, power. Power is dunamis. And I said last time that there are three sources of power. I don't know how to open this one up, sir. This is not a career flax. Praise God. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Excuse me. The first one. Let us go look verse 1. Chapter 1, I beg your pardon, verse 17. I've said it before, and I want to say it, and please, I want you to also pay attention. There are three sources of power. I want to also look at the first source of power for the believer. The first one is of the Spirit. In the Bible, says, and this was Jesus, this is the story of John the Baptist. He will also go before him in the Spirit and power of who? Elijah. Listen to me. The man you call Elijah was a man. But there was a mantle he wore. And that mantle is the Holy Ghost. They call that mantle the Spirit and power of Elijah. It's the Spirit. Are you with me? All those patriarchs of old carried a dimension of the Holy Ghost. That when he rested on them, he morphed and more like suit, used them, that it became a suit for them. Praise the Lord. So you can look at John, you can look at David, for example, and assume that David was a mere man. But once that Spirit that was upon him begins to stir him up, you will no longer be David, but you will be seeing another dimension of the Holy Ghost. Am I making sense to us? So where did this man get the power? He said he had the power to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Hallelujah. You should therefore ask the question, why did Elisha ask for the double portion? People say double portion of his anointing. No, he didn't ask for double portion of the anointing. He asked for the double portion of his Spirit. Because he recognized, Abu moved close to Elijah. He saw how ordinary Elijah was. Because John just told us that they were all men of life passions. If you move close to men of God, you'll find out that some of us, we are unhappy when Arsenal lose. And you say, are these men not Kana? Yeah, but sometimes it can be that, but when you handle microphone, we are no longer Kana. Hallelujah. Am I communicating? It happens like that. Sometimes we feel very sad. Oh, Kana just does something and we are, at this Okana man just bash my car like this. And then, have they bashed your car before and you are thinking about, or when we enter gallop, Pastor, when we enter gallop, it is not, it is a pocket. It is reacting. When you say, mechanic again, how much did they say I'm going to pay? Praise God. We are men of like passions. But what makes the difference is the Spirit. It's the Spirit. And throughout the whole scriptures, you find the Spirit as a defining force. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. Okay, no, chapter 4 verse 14. And Jesus returned what? In the power of the Spirit. Remember that when the Holy Ghost rested upon him, it rested like what? A dove. A dove is an animal that is gentle. Are you with me? But the Bible says that after the Spirit rested, the same Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But when he was coming back, the Holy Ghost upon him was no longer a dove. Amen. That Spirit had taken a different complexion. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about what? Doing good. When he went into the wilderness, he was not going to do good. He was to be tempted of devil. But when he returned from that wilderness, he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him. What has he done when news began to go forward? Who was broadcasting the news? You then asked. No television, no internet, no publicity units, no nothing. How do you think our world works? Have you ever given it a thought? Yeah, what did you find? Alright. This is the original Aworu. Praise God. This is the original one. Satan copied the technology here. He came back in the power of the Spirit and news went. Who was broadcasting the news? Who was telling people? He had done no miracle here. Because the Bible says the first miracle he performed, where did he perform it? This is not kind of Galileo. He has not arrived there. So how did they know that somebody has entered town? A warrior works by spirits. He just moves out. And they come and start talking to you. A new man is in town. He can do miracle. A new man is in town. He can do miracle. Before you know all of you, your leg will just work out there. He will ask, what have you come to do here? We have come for a miracle. Who told you? We don't know. We just had it. Okay. Angels went out by the leading of the Spirit to go and start informing people that somebody was in town. Praise the Lord. So we understand that there is, that dimension of the Spirit is very, very key in anything. Now all the men, I wish I can go through, but of course let's go through. And so you can see as I develop my thoughts. Praise God. Look at verse 36. Now they began to say this about him. Because when he returned the power of the Spirit, this began to happen in his life. And they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is. For with what? Authority and power. He commands the unclean spirits and they come out. What do you mean by, no, give me the original KJV. This one has altered the message I want to preach here. The original KJV. Hey. What word is this? What do you mean by what word is this? Was he preaching when he was casting out devils? What word is this? For with authority and power, he commandeth. I like that, commandeth. The unclean spirits. And they come out. That could only be possible because a resident power was upon him. He didn't do this until he came back from the wilderness. Praise God. He couldn't do this. And you can now understand when he was speaking to the apostles that they should tarry in Jerusalem until they be what? Endued with power. I think where our problem really is in church is that we have not really been endued with power. Oh, we speak in tongues, but we have not yet been endued with power. When you are endued with power, things will happen. Ask all the apostles, ask all of them that have ever walked in this reality. They were endued, at one point, they were endued with power. And you don't just walk into power. It's not that you're just walking and they just pour power on your head. Ah! You are Superman, turtle doves. It doesn't work like that. Men have spent days, years praying before they released it. Hallelujah. So you now understand what I'm talking about. So you don't just willfully think that John G. Lake was holding viruses and it was okay. No, he was endued with power. And one of the greatest mistakes anybody that can make is follow a man that is being led by the Spirit. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If they don't lead you to walk with him, you will perish. Ask the Egyptians. The Bible says by faith, Israel went through the wilderness, through the Red Sea. The Egyptians are sailing to pass, perished. You can't walk into the Red Sea with them. Because you didn't get a word from the Lord. Am I communicating? I bless God for John G. Lake, but go and enter your clothes and let them endue your power. Then when you come out, you see, look at the Elisha and Elijah. You know, Elisha was just an houseboy. What was his job? Fetch water, wash Elisha's feet, wash Elisha's hand, and run basic domestic errands. He was not even he didn't enroll in the school of the prophets because he was not the son of a prophet. Praise the Lord. But he had the privilege of hearing the lectures because he would always carry the man of God's briefcase, everything, and sit behind and be listening. Amen. And I could imagine the seniors in the class saying, "Elisha, go and fetch water for me. I'm not your mate. I didn't come here. I'm serving the man of God." Say, "Emilunga sorrow. May we deal with you." So when Elijah was to go, how did the sons of the prophet know? Who told them? I don't think it was their master. They knew it because they were sons of prophets. They had been trained in the prophetic. So they knew. Say, "Your master is going today. Say, bye. I will see where you lied." And they kept pestering him. And they kept... But when Elisha came back, and he got to the river Jordan, and there was no way to pass, and he took his mantle and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And smooth river, and it splitted. Elisha stopped being Elisha. He became a daddy. They became father. They prostrated and said, "The spirit of Elijah doeth rest." This thing is about spirit. That's my conclusion. It's about spirit. If the spirit is not there, it's not there. It's not there. There's nothing we can do. Can't do nothing. And I've told us here before, no one here on earth becomes anything without the help of spirits. Without the help of spirits, no one becomes anything. When you look at Dangote, it's not the seven laws of success that made him what he is. No. He won't tell you, but I will know that that man has cut covenants with spirits. Of course, you can make some few money here and there, just enough to make you buy petrol, eat. If God helps you, you can send your children to school. But really, if you want to share resources and influence, spirits must get involved. Are you with me? And so if we can't bow down to Lucifer, because he said to Jesus, "This will I give you if you will do what? Bow." Otherwise, you go to the cross. There we will meet. I just said, "I will not bow." By that statement, he has declared where you will meet. But Satan kept giving him options. And Satan kept giving him opportunities to change his mind. Even on the cross, he told him, "If you really are the Son of God, calm down. I swear to God, we believe." Are you with me? Amen. So, these things don't work without spirits. We have only one spirit that we have sworn, as it were, to subscribe to, and that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. And without the Holy Ghost, there is no way. And so Jesus told them in Acts 1:8. Can you go to Acts 1:8? Okay, go to 7. Let's take it from 7. "And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his power," his own power. The one power there is his own authority. Is that okay? But here he now said, "You shall receive power." That is, you shall receive dunamis. He said, God kept something in his authority. But now he's not talking about what? Dunamis. He was not saying the same thing. "But you shall receive dunamis only after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem." Now, the purpose of the Holy Ghost is not to help us build a tribal ministry. I learned this from this man. This man, I wrote this, "Good Morning, Holy Spirit." Benny Hinn. He said, he said that one time the Holy Ghost told him, he said, "You have told me to your servant." He said, "No problem, continue." He said, "But one day I will kill you. I'll just kill you." You know how he does his ministry? "Holy Spirit, take this one back. Hey, Holy Ghost, take it back. And it becomes, people just say, they just enjoy the spectacle. They just enjoy the, it's like you are watching you, reality television. Praise God. You know, so we just talk to one person, they will just some myself, but you should just talk to some myself. So it's fun. Because they have taught me to Aaron, but no problem, continue. But one day I'll just kill you. You have to repent. But I believe God loved him. That's why I told him. There are people God will not tell. Just one day, while he's some assaulting, we'll just die there. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, he has only one job, to bear witness of Jesus' resurrection. That's why we have signs and wonders. You can't really convince people really without the Holy Ghost being upon you. It won't work. There was this man, Oral Roberts, who went to India and he carried his guitar and he was doing evangelism. Jesus loved the literature. You know those are funny songs we used to sing. And those Hindus and they were just making fun of me. What Jesus are you guys talking about? He made the world. He came to save you. He talked and they said, "Oh, shut up. Go sit down." So he went back home, detected. And later he said, while he was there in that room, crying, agonizing, praying, "God, but God, why did you let them disgrace me?" He said, Jesus appeared in his room. I said, "Go back." Now he was commissioned. Now he was empowered. When he went back, it was a different story. So you can, by experience, we have come to accept speaking in tongues as a substitute for power. I don't know where that came from, but I believe it came from the Pentecostal movement that lost its focus as the years went by. From the Azusa revival down the years, we don't know Satan. I think I need to do an exposition on him. We did not know there was Satan that was piloting that program. It says they accept the truth in a way, but they deny the power of it. Oh, we believe in the Holy Ghost, but we don't want this crazy manifestation. Let us just stick with the Holy Ghost. Who told you that speaking in tongues is the only manifestation of the Holy Ghost? There are nine. I mean, it's not nine. There are nine manifestations. So why must we sit down with the Holy speaking in tongues? We speak, okay, you're with the Holy Ghost. But does it have the power? Was that how the apostles pushed this kingdom forward? I think we need to review those things. Practically, as believers and as leaders, we need to go over these things. I, for one, I really believe I need to adjust. Praise the Lord. It says you'll be endued the power. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It's about being a witness to his resurrection. Because there's a connection between the power of the Holy Spirit and the proof that he was actually raised from the dead. Without his being raised from the dead, he cannot release the promise of the Father. Am I making sense? You don't understand. What they call the birthright, what they call the blessing of Abraham, was actually the Holy Ghost. Hello? Galatians chapter 3. Let's speak from verse 13. I hope I'm making sense. Well, if I'm not making sense, you can ask questions. No problem. Praise God. It says Christ has done what? He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now, you see, the present evangelical and Pentecostal system worship and stay with the death of Jesus. Listen to all our songs. He saved me. Oh, he was the one who delivered me. Oh, this is the same thing. And I'm asking myself, who taught them these things? Why are we camped around the cross? We have camped around the cross. Even God told Israel, said, "You have stayed long on this mountain. Carry your legs and waka. Let's move forward." The cross is not the only part of this redemption. Praise God. He said, he became a curse because it was made, but it is really caused everyone that hangeth on the tree. Now look at verse 14. Why was he made a curse? Without him becoming a curse, I beg your pardon, the blessing of Abraham can't come to the Gentiles. So his death was what? It was a means to an end. That was why he said, it is good that I go. Because if I don't go, the Holy Ghost won't come. And I was like, crying out aloud. What can be better than Jesus Christ just being with me here? I can tell you, if Jesus is standing with me, I cannot sing. Can you sing? Because if I'm, except I forget he's there. Praise God. If he's there and I remember he's there, when Okada, I just say, may Lord bless you. But immediately I forget. Jesus, okay, Mama, I might be new Jesus. Oh, God, be new then. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? That is just it. But listen, he said the reason why he was hung on that tree was in order that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through what? Through Jesus. That we might do what? Receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. So what blessed Abraham was the Holy Spirit. When God appeared to Abraham and said, Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. He had released to him himself. It was that blessing that turned Abraham around and made him a blessing in the earth. It was that blessing he passed on to Isaac. And Isaac gave his son Jacob. And Jacob gave to his 12 sons. And they split that blessing into 12. Remember the 12 loaves. The 5 loaves. And he gave it. He was speaking about the same thing. Praise God. Am I communicating? That was how he came to us. It's that same blessing. He's the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, maybe we need to now, do I have to now start doing a teaching on the Holy Ghost again here? Before we talk about the kingdom, the warfare of the kingdom. Because without you understanding the power of the Holy Ghost, we can't really talk about the how to war effectively. Because without the power of the Holy Ghost, there is no war. You can go to war. Before they went to face the devils, he said, stay in Jerusalem for they endow you with power. So how do we want to push this kingdom forward without power? God will help us. So you understand that it's the Holy Spirit. Now you look at the apostles. Let us look at one or two people there in the Bible. You know, Acts of Apostles 3:12, Peter was saying after they raised that man, and people were marveling, were coming together, Acts 3:12, he said, look, why are you guys looking at me? You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why you look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness? You can't do this things without power or holiness. But you are looking at us. But let me tell you one thing. In our present day system, you can't do this kind of miracle and they must know. If they don't, they say, I want to thank my Father and the Lord. Praise God. Am I communicating? Oh, may God give us the right kind of heart. So one of the AWO. Is that in English for AWO? Taboo of the Holy Ghost. Is having the wrong heart is one of the easiest way to kill yourself. He said, why are you guys marveling? As though by our own power or holiness, the word power there is dunamis. We had made this man to walk, verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when it was determined to let him go. And he began to say a lot of things. God then said, but got himself into trouble. Anyway, praise God. What am I trying to say in effect is that without the death of Jesus, there could have been no resurrection. It was the resurrection that ushered in the Holy Ghost. That's what they call the promise of the Father. That was what Israel had been waiting for all these years. They were looking for it, but they missed it. Paul says it now. Said those who were not looking for it found it. And the righteousness that Israel was looking for, they missed it. Because can only be accessed by faith. So when you have faith in his death and in his resurrection, they release you, you have access automatically to the promise. It's there for you to take. Hallelujah. John chapter 1 verse 12. If that's all I can do tonight, I think it's okay. No, thank you. John 1:12. But as many as received him, what did he give them? Power. Power. Can you give me another translation? That one looks like the word, I'm not sure whether that is dunamis. It looks like authority. Yeah. It's exousia. Which one is this one? See, I'm going to just come back. Right. Go powerful. Why are they too powerful? It's still right. I think you're talking about right. But as many as did receive him and welcome him, he gave the authority. I don't like power there. Privilege. Right. To become the children of God. So you're becoming a child of God is an authority. That means they permitted you to become. Hallelujah. But if you now go to Romans chapter 8, that right is also access to the Spirit of life. It's the Spirit of life that can now work on you to make you a son. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So you see that the calling, let me use the word, or the mandate of the Holy Ghost is multidimensional. Don't believe in for one aspect at the detriment of the other aspect of his ministry. Praise God. That sonship thing can only be possible through him. Without him, you can't get it. And you won't get it. So it's, people assume that, okay, because I'm a member of a church, automatically I'm a son. It doesn't work like that. There is a consistent and active faith that must be released from you to believe God, to release the necessary resources of your becoming. Do you understand what I just said? You must believe it. Everything of God requires faith. Everything requires faith. You can get nothing without faith. There's nothing you can get by wishing. Lord, I just wish. They say wishes were horses. Beggars were right. And heaven has no provision for beggars. Only for sons who can believe God for it. So sonship is with faith in. Power is with faith in. Everything is faith. That's why it is possible to please God without faith. And that's where faith comes in. Hallelujah. So what is other, how do you manifest power is what I just told you is by faith. We will develop that thought later on. Praise God. The other thing I think I didn't mention is that, I think I mentioned it, and I'm just, the other one is the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2. The name of Jesus. Let's go there. I was hoping I'll finish on that. Philippians 2, don't give me, okay. I don't know this one, no. Okay, so by whatever appeal to you there is in our mutual dwelling in Christ, give me KJV, please. God bless you. This one is not flowing. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, verse 3, he now says this, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves, verse 4, Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That verse 5 is where, let this mind be where? In you, which was also what? In Christ Jesus. So we are now dealing with attitude here. Your attitude is very important. Very, very important. Because you can have the wrong attitude and you want to, you know, handle these issues. It's not going to work for you. It's not going to help you. Some of us have the wrong attitude. Now verse 6, that's not where my emphasis is. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made like in the likeness, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also had highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This scripture is a standard scripture. You must memorize it. You must know it. You must digest it. You must become a part of you. Hallelujah. Because it is this scripture that makes it abundantly clear that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. There is no spirit, there is nothing in creation that name cannot undo. I don't know whether you are with me. Do you understand me? Over the weekend, I was chatting with Pastor Shafir. And that's a very, very, he posted some Twitter conversation on a status, and I had to read it. It was a conversation between a sailor and a friend. And that sailor, that's about 39 or something pages, tweet pages, was telling his friend things he had seen as a sailor. He said there are creatures in the oceans that science has not discovered. Say they've only discovered 10% of the life in the ocean. He said they have seen sea creatures that are dragons, twice the size of ships. Yes, twice. Not boats. Ships. They are bigger than ships. Say, when you hear about unexplained sinking of ships, he said, those creatures that sank them. It showed that even in the Atlantic Ocean, somewhere there, that they have rivers in the ocean. Rivers. River is flowing there. They took the picture. The water don't mix. The river is flowing. You see, the water is flowing there. They don't mix. The ocean is salt. That river is pure water. And it doesn't mix with the water. You will see the river flowing. The river is all around it. Have you seen that before? Says sea creatures. Say this. And say L, not baby. L. Kilo. Eel. 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 Look at the eel. Better. He says it's twice. It's the size of two cars. Packed like that. That's the size. It says that is like human, bigger, very big. Orishi. Where was it? I was like, you showed the pictures, I was like, So when the Bible says under the earth, okay, because until you see some scriptures, they are redundant scriptures. They are not redundant. No, they are. He spoke about mammoths. I spoke about mema. Mermaid is obirin. Mermaid. Men no go your maid, because your maid is man. Man. Say they live there. They are there. They have their colonies there. And I've heard of people go there and they conjure them. Whether they are spirits or natural, I don't know. But say lost, no. It's spoke about a Ghanaian that died. They were on the sea and he just wanted to take a boat and just stroll out. So he bought that small boat and rowed out. And they just had the shout, scream, and they had to go and rescue him. By the time they got, he was shaking, he was shouting, and within 15 minutes, he was done. But this guy said that a mummy touched me. And in less than 20 minutes, he was dead. When you come across them, what do? You run? They gave you a name. These are things you must understand. They gave you a name. You may not know much, but this one you know. So if for any reason, by any mistake, you just enter, maybe you are just going for field trip, and Peter and Jolu just come and bang, ah! You don't run. You stand and say, bros, what are you doing here? Did you not read? It is written that the earth has given to the sons of men. Are you a son of man? Oh yeah, in the name of Jesus, carry your leg. It goes. But you don't run, you run. You dance and run. Hey, and Jonah has gone. He said, I want to look at this. I want to do it. So Bible says they gave him a name. Maybe we need to do another exposition on the name. That is a compulsory course you must pass. The name of Jesus, the Ifun, the Edo, everything you must hear it and know it. He gave him a name. And that name is important in the course of heaven. When you stand in the course of heaven and to speak, they will ask you, by what authority have you come? You will say, you come by the blood. That one, we'll talk about that one. The place of the blood and the place of the name. Praise God. The third one, praise God. I can't remember the third one now. I've forgotten the third one. I remember next week, praise God. But there are three things that we must know. I've talked about the Holy Spirit. I've talked about the name of Jesus. Eh? Noah. God bless you. And the Word of God. When we talk about the Word of God, it's not... Judas, and Judas hung himself. That's not the word of God. That's not the word of God. That's commentary. Historical fact. That's not the word of God. You must know which one is God's word, and you must know which one is historic. Praise God. Like it is written, the wicked will not stand in judgment. That is God's word. That's a verdict. And based on that verdict, I'm pronouncing the judgment. But we don't know what God has said. They'll just use your eyes to play Ludo. The word of God. Like Pastor said, he said there are three things that bear witness in heaven. There are three that bear witness on earth. You have the Father. You have the Word, and you have the Spirit. They bear witness. Do you understand that? So you must understand how these things work. It's knowledge. It comes down to knowledge. So I want to ask you, as I begin to bring this message and teaching to a close, how much do you invest in acquiring the required knowledge? Let me end by saying this. Learn from Daniel that the scriptures told us that he was required to learn the language, the science, the culture, and everything about the Chaldeans. But he didn't stop there. He also learned about the things of the Spirit. Am I communicating? So there were two learnings. By the time he stepped before the king, the Bible says he was 10 times wiser. That's God's template for us. I'm not asking you not to read your books. But I'm neither asking you to abandon your books and take the Bible. You are supposed to carry the two of them pari passu. We're talking in the vehicle this evening, and we're sharing testimonies. Look, many of us would have become first class products if we had people to counsel us. We had no counselors. I just look back and just say, if not for God, maybe I would have been pushing a Molanke now. Because there was no counselor. We were all Jim. God. Academics is secondary, it is God that is first. It's not true. And then we had our own brothers who not only academics who read this book, but they had no profit in the realm of the spirit. But can you be balanced? That as you have excelled in academics, you also excel in the spirit. That's the kind of people we want. 211, I would have left university to pursue ministry. That's why I said I would have probably been pushing a man like you now. No. You must balance it. Because where God is taking you to, you need your education as a platform to enter. With education, Daniel could not have stood before the king. In the days of Babalola, the man was not educated. The God could do that. But in this generation, it's changing. The kings were not educated, so he could afford that. But listen to me, things are changing. We need it to be a first-class mind and a first-class spiritual man. Amen. When you want to talk academics, you will say, this is academics, but let us talk spirit. Glory to God. God will help us. We have a challenge. We have a challenge. But we're not people we back down. I was talking, before we picked you, we were talking in the car. And we were saying that they were talking about rapture. And yeah. We are moving, every day we are moving towards the end. You may not like it. You may feel that, Lord, I've not married. Your marriage means nothing. Praise God. I ask those of us who have married. The Bible says we have problem in the flesh. It is true, we have problem in the flesh. Praise God. We are talking, don't let me say what I'm going to say. Praise God. Some of you say, oh, I just like pastor. I just wish my husband can be like pastor. If you stay with me, you won't want to have the husband like me. This is where, if it's more than more, you. Only microphone. Amen. Shadia knows. Have you Shadia? Where's Shadia? Your mouth too. Even if I said it, you should have said, it's not that bad, sir. Praise God. So we have problem in the flesh. We do have problem in the flesh. So while you are young, the Bible says, bear the yoke in your youth. This is the best time for you to acquire all that you can acquire. Listen, by the time you're married, you may not have time for many things again. It is what you have, like the Yoruba say, it is the food the bird ate that he uses to fly. Is that a proper Yoruba translation? Uh-huh. So if the bird has not eaten and he attempts to fly, it won't go far before it drops. That's why many people graduate from universities, from fellowships, and after 3, 4, 5 years, they disappear. They fade away, never hear of them again. Because there was nothing there to carry them on. I want to plead with you, by God's mercies, that you invest time also. Don't follow vain persons. Don't engage in activities that have no profit. Don't enter relationships that have no future. You have a life ahead of you. When Jesus Christ said, I give you life more abundantly. You know what that abundant means? It means an exciting life. A life full of suspense. A life so interesting that you'll be willing to wake up the following day to see what God has in mind for you again. God will help us. We thank you, our Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before we pray, can we take the questions? I think I survived. Thank you, sir. I made it. Any questions?
Praise the Lord. We have no questions. Where are they? Is anyone asking a question? It's coming. And you expect me to wait till the day comes. I can't continue to wait. If I don't send any hands up, I will have to close. Any contribution? Okay, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. I was on the internet yesterday.
Was it yesterday or 2 days ago? And I stormed at a caption on YouTube about Lester Sumrall confronting a witch doctor. And I was interested. I wanted to know what was in it. And I played the video, and I saw, I think it was sometimes in the 80s or in the 70s, in the Amazon, some of those tribes that didn't wear clothes and all that. And then Reverend Sumrall was invited by a missionary. No, a woman. This was a woman. A woman missionary. And one of the things that really hit me was, are we not too selfish? You know, don't we have this thing about ourselves and about our lives and wanting to build a future for ourselves? I wonder what that woman was doing in that place. And women, people who had future, they had a future, they had chances of making it, you know, just like everybody else. But she was with some tribe inside that place who were not wearing clothes. They weren't doing anything, and she was content. She was satisfied to be in that place. And I think that somewhere, one of the reasons why some of these things are lacking with us is also that we are, there's something about ourselves that we are protecting. And we don't even, people, even when we find ourselves in our small places where everything around us is how to make it, how to go to Abuja, how to go to Lagos, how to make it, how to be relevant. And I think we are also in that race, consciously or unconsciously. We are also in that race. And I think we need to check ourselves and ask ourselves, where I am now, what I'm doing now, have I not joined that race of wanting to? There are people who even this ordinary Akure that we are in, there are some people think we are here wasting our time. There are people who just think that for being in Akure alone, you are wasting your time and wasting your life. Not caring whether God has an assignment for you there. So imagine that we are now inside one village doing missionary. They will just write us off. They will just delete us. That we are, you know. So I think the question is, what am I willing to give it up? If God comes today and asks for that my education and asks for that my qualification, am I willing to release it? Am I willing to let it go? How much protected by myself am I? Praise God.
Thank you. That's a poster. That's food for thought. But that's more than food. There's a question you will have to answer, because it will have eternal repercussions. I think it's because we have not cast out a devil before. If you've cast out a devil before, you'll be happy to want to cast out other devils. Like my friend said, they went to Badagry to do an outreach, and so they called all of them out to pray for those who were possessed. And he said, he now look for 1 5-year-old boy to pray for. At least if a demon manifests in you, I can easily beat you up. So that's what he said to himself. And so when he now laid hands and the boys from assaulted, he now said, where are the others? Where are the others? And he was happy. And so every time they say, let us go for outreach, he was happy to go. I just pray that you will break that fear. That fear is a problem. At the end of the day, well, when we start talking about the attitude needed to defeat the fallen angels, you will know that one of the first attitudes of any soldier is to be delivered from the fear of death. It's not, fear of death is the most powerful fear among all fears. It's called there's this what we call something self-preservation. You want to preserve your life. And so you're afraid of losing it. And so, are you afraid of losing your career? Afraid of giving up your career? That woman gave up everything. I don't know whether that woman ever ended up marrying. But when I read the story of that young man that went to Kuma Hills and eventually died this year, that is a general. That is a man I call a hero. Not the people, not those of us wearing jeep and say we want to thank God that we have bought a jet. Those are not the people who will celebrate. They won't celebrate those men. Because they will celebrate you according to what you have given up. What have you lost? Say we've given up everything to follow you. Separately, I tell you, everyone who has given up houses, this will also receive a hundredfold and much more. Somebody asking, what, say apart from the cross, what other redemption?
Which are the other redemption? There's no other redemption. There's only one redemption.
You see, the whole package of his death and his resurrection is all that is encapsulated inside redemption. What I'm saying is that people stick with just the cross. There's a role the cross plays in our lives. There's also a role the resurrection plays. Are you with me? At the point of the cross, your sins are forgiven. Resurrection gets you to walk in victory over sin. Do you understand that? So you need the two for you to be balanced. He has forgiven you. You're like I said before, when a convict or somebody comes before the judge, he has committed sin, he has done everything. But because he got a very good lawyer, the judge pronounces him not guilty. Discharged and acquitted. That does not mean he's not still a thief. Are you with me? Because when he steps out there, he'll go back and thief. He will discharge, okay. No, you can't even acquaint him. But the thing inside him that makes him a thief will manifest. A finiwa. He must return to his vomit. So, the resurrection deals with that nature that made you a thief. It wants to kill it and remove it and forever that. When they say, you were the thief because said, I was forgiven. Help us keep this 20 million. It doesn't move you. Because that thing has died. But if that thing is there, if they do like this, you act on that noise, you say, Lord. You know that I don't like this temptation. I don't like this temptation. Oh, Jesus, I don't like this. You do it again. You are still a thief. Do you understand? Praise God. Any other one? All right, bro, Lumre. I think you have to project your voice from there. Yeah. Hallelujah. I agree with you.
The Holy Spirit tells you what to
do. Yes.
And it's important for us to know that some of us, by the nature of the Spirit, must be in the food, but in our career.
And we must be in America.
But I want to say, some of us to be, by
Yes. That direction. Yes. Yeah. See, comes back to what we're talking about. That the Spirit is very is key. The main dimensions of this Holy Spirit. Alright. Hallelujah. Yeah, I agree with you completely on that issue. But as to teaching people, it's difficult to teach people everything about the Holy Ghost. Very, very difficult. So what we can do as leaders is what Eli did for Samuel. As we are going through that experience, we'll be guiding you. But I can't say that because when once we come and say, Samuel, there's no way I can teach you that. The Lord may not decide not to even come like that. He can even come in a vision. Will I know he will come like that? He can even speak to you through a donkey. He has done it before. He can use signs of the skies to talk to you. So to teach you Holy Ghost, of course we can give you guidelines, but the specifics, you will have to go through it. And like a desire, like I said, you have to actively engage. But again, you understand, this is a desire. Some of us don't really care. And some of you are afraid. Because if I ask him, Holy Spirit, come and take control, he will mess up your program. Let me tell you the truth, he normally does. He normally does. But that's why, praise God. Lord, I commit my life to your hands. Anyhow you want to do it, do it. You now graduate and you don't get a job. You will not know that you have prayed one prayer. Do you understand? So it's multifaceted. And we can only trust God that you will desire it. It's an hunger. And like I said, again, it's a challenge of leadership. Because you become what you keep hearing. And God will help us. That's why you need to pray for your leaders too. That they will do the will of God. You don't just sit there and be expecting us to come and start feeding you. Sometimes our minds may not go there. Our attention may not go there. Are you waving a goodbye or what are you doing? You have a contribution. Yes.
The book of Romans chapter 8 verse 29. Let's look at these scriptures and make some clarity on this germane issue. Romans 8:29. It says, start from 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. To them, please go back to that. Look at it. He said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I want you to underline the word loving God. To them that love God. To them who are called. That's another word that we need to underline with red ink. to them who are called according to his purpose. Now we can ask two questions. Who are those that love God? And who are those that are called? Because I can come to a position and say that I love God, but I am not called. Pastor was talking about giving up. Somebody will give up all things and so on and so forth. Praise God. So the word love God and to them that are called is very, very important. Now, God will not do anything outside of your love for him. What you become in the kingdom is largely dependent on the love that you have shown to God. And this is very key. It's very, very critical. That woman must have loved evangelism right from the beginning of her life. And of course, every one of us is called to also do that. Now, look at verse 29. He said, for whom he did foreknow, he also he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Of course, we all know that the Lord Jesus Christ was the firstborn. But we could also have another firstborn among brethren based on the first two things that we have highlighted, loving God and called. All of us are called. That's the truth. But all of us are not prepared to yield. All of us are not prepared to pay the sacrifice. Praise God. I keep on saying this. The little among you, grace can do a lot more of wonders in outside there than what she will do in the church. But is grace prepared to do that? Is grace ready to risk a calculus and say that I am going for evangelism? Do you understand what I'm talking about? So when we now begin to measure the love of grace between God and the mathematics, it's very, very important. The reason why many of us are not doing that kind of work is because of the level of our love. We don't really love him. We love ourselves. I think that's the primary facet of what he was saying. We love ourselves. If I ask you to go to Itarena to go for evangelism, you say, oh, no. I don't have the time. But I tell you this, if you go once, you want to go back again and again and again and again. In fact, if you are not careful, you will come to a conclusion that I'm an evangelist. Praise God. I was giving Pastor a testimony, and it was so profound, because of course we have Lester Sumrall, we have this and that. Any of us can do a greater work than Lester Sumrall. We visited a king in Ikoya. Ikoya is the cradle of the Kale land. And of course I didn't want to go, but I was forced. The Holy Spirit said, supposing I have a word for that king through you. I said, okay, let me go. And I got there. Holy Spirit said, tell him the chronicles of the king of Israel. From the day of Saul to the time of Omri. And I began to tell him the chronicles. At a point in time, the wife got angry. And the man was also angry. Okay, I said, this is the point. Guess what? No, in no time, the king was on his knees, crying. Do you want to tell me that if they ask me to come for evangelism again, I will not go? Because I have testimony. And I was prepared to give up a lot of things. Comfort. Where I slept was not, it wasn't palatable. And there's no hotel there. I was ready to give up. But many of us are not prepared to give up things. And the context of our love for God is very shallow. When you measure it with your academic, when you measure it with other things, when you measure it with your interest in other things, you are not there. You love yourself more than God. And until we begin to love God more than ourselves, we will not come into this manifestation. The leading of the Holy Ghost. the manifestations of signs and wonders. How can somebody say you hear from the Holy Ghost when you are not a lover of the Word of God? Do you understand what I'm talking? Which Holy Ghost is talking to you? Because first and foremost, you must be a consummate lover of the Word of God. It is why you are reading the Word of God. Most of the inspiration that God is as a result of sitting down, reading and reading the Word of God, the Bible. And the Holy Spirit will begin to process things. He begins to process. People say, how can you say you hear from God? Yes, how can you say you hear from God? You hear from God through the Word of God. And once it is not through the Word of God, other spirit is talking to you. And you need to be careful. So, we need to be balanced. The speaking of the Holy Ghost is very profound in the life of many of us. And I know that. But basically, the Word of God that the word that the Holy Spirit speaks unto us is also affirmed through our knowledge of the Word of God. So the knowledge of the Word of God is what confirms whether the Holy Spirit is speaking the truth to, or is speaking to you, or is your spirit or another thing is speaking to you. And it's very important because many of us can look at pastor at 200 level. It looks sounds so good. Go for evangelism. Huh? Did you not believe that it was the Holy Spirit that was speaking to you? But it wasn't him. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. Because the ministry that he would have done, that he wanted to do, maybe he wouldn't have been able to do it. But somehow, there was a balance. So we really need to come into a place where we love the Word of God more than hearing from the Holy Ghost. That may look very esoteric, but that's the truth. We must come to a place of reading the Word and reading the Word and reading the Word. Listen, you can't read 3 pages of Bible without you hearing from the Holy Ghost. Go and try it. You read three pages of Bible in your personal hour and you think Holy Ghost will not. Be over best sorrow, be over change their best sorrow. And it might not even be relevant to what you have read. Because there is a download of the power. The Word of God is power. There is a download of the power. The Word of God is the ear of God, is the tongue of God, is the mouthpiece of God. That's the microphone. So when that word is coming, you just discover that Holy Spirit will begin to remind you there are certain things that you needed to do, this and that, and so on. And you begin to say, oh, yeah. God will help us in Jesus' name.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings, School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m., Governmental Prayers every Thursday 6 p.m., Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.